On June 15th, the Canadian city of Vancouver was like a war zone. Thousands of disappointed hockey fans took to the streets after their team, the Canucks, lost in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. Massive crowds torched cars, smashed windows, and looted stores. Now a government report has been released looking at how to avoid something like that happening again. Chris Brown with the CBC in Vancouver, you've been following the story. What were the key findings in the report? Why did the riot happen?
Well, the report says the riot happened basically because there were too many drunk people who had been drinking all day in a very tight part of the downtown, 150,000 people that were really jammed into just a few city blocks. Authorities underestimated the size of the crowd. They underestimated the amount of alcohol and booze that would be in play. And they underestimated the fact that even once the riot started, people would keep coming into the city's downtown on public transit and basically making a bad situation worse, piling in. Really, someone said, it was like putting a cork in a bottle, keeping all these people in a small area.
Does the report actually kind of assign blame to the failures of policing, or does it kind of isolate the too many drunk people in a confined area?
You know, it kind of gives a big fig leaf to the police and the mayor and a lot of other people. It doesn't blame the police or the city of Vancouver. It does blame really about 200 instigators, people who came downtown. You know, you mentioned in your intro hockey fans. There's a lot of debate in the city whether they were actually hockey fans or just really professional troublemakers who saw an opportunity to cause trouble. Those folks came down, and really there was a mob mentality took over once a few of them torched a car, store windows broke, things were taken, and wham, about 2,000 other people seemed to have jumped into it. Obviously not in the scale of the sort of riots that we saw in London earlier this summer, but clearly extremely intense for Vancouver over the 4 or 5 hours that it was going on.
So what happened to those 200-some-odd professional troublemakers, as you put it? Were they ever prosecuted?
The short answer is no, not yet, but the police tell us they're going to. They've been working on this for a number of months, and this is another really interesting element of what came out of this riot. You had tons and tons of surveillance camera footage and cell phone video and whatnot. But unlike Britain, which had a lot of closed-circuit TVs that were controlled by the police that were really easily admissible as evidence in court cases, all the video for this riot has to be verified, and it just takes a very, very long time. So they've had to hire a lab in the University of Indiana to really go over all this video, to pinpoint people's faces, to make sure that they actually did the things that people have confessed to doing and sort of aren't just lowballing their actions to try to get a lighter sentence. So we're told that the prosecutions are actually going to take several more months, maybe not even until the next time the hockey playoffs roll into Vancouver, which would be in the spring.
Mm. You know, the Stanley Cup happens every year, Chris. There's always a team that wins and a team that loses. Why does it always seem to be Vancouver where things end in tears?
It's sad but true. This is a beautiful city, and they put on some great events. The Olympics are obviously one of them. Hockey is really a passion here, and there was an awful lot of emotion. A lot of people had really emotionally invested in this team, and that's really the only explanation that I can suggest. I don't think people in Vancouver are worse or bad or you know, misbehave any more than people in Toronto or Boston, but you know, that's the way it is.
Chris Brown, a reporter with the CBC in Vancouver. Thanks very much, Chris.
All right.